Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? You know who it is. It's your boy, P. Richardson, owner and sole creator of Saving Our Athletes Respectfully. And what I do is provide business networking opportunities and life skill coaching for athletes, no matter what you've done or what you've been through. Life is about making your dreams come true. So no matter what somebody else tell you, you know what I'm saying, just go out there, tell them, miss me with that. You know, tell them, thank you for the hate, but I'm still going to continue to be great. Yeah, today it's about 11 a.m. Today is November 25th, a couple of days before one of my favorite holidays of the year, which is Thanksgiving. You want some turkey? Come get me some. You want it fried or baked? No, I'm just playing. Today I got two special guests on my show, very beneficial to the community. One just moved out of the community. That's a former sports journalist turned middle school coach. His name is Landon Wright. And also I got one of my former Texas Tech Red Raiders on the line. He's an athlete straight up out of Houston, Texas. This dude right here came to Texas Tech, I want to say, in 06. Came, made a big impact on the field. He not only did he make a big impact on the field, but he made a big impact on the locker room, pursuing his dreams, also pursuing music. And now he's pursuing his dreams as well as being still continuing his dream, trying to be in the NFL and played in the game in the D-League. He's still trying to do it. And his name is Mr. Richard Jones. What's up, man?
What is here, Pete?
Oh, man, you know, just trying to maintain and trying to continue to soar, you know what I mean? So go on, I introduced you a little bit. I want you to go ahead and formally introduce yourself and let the people know what you're about right now.
Yeah, man, like you said, Richard Jones, out of Lamarck, Texas, outside of Houston, came to Texas Tech at in the 06 season, and graduated, finished in 2010, and Most everybody know me by Big Rich. That's my rap name, you know, because I make music as well, you know what I'm saying, like to glorify the kingdom, man, and so basically it.
Oh, okay, man, there it is right there, out of Lamarck, Texas, right outside of Houston. This guy didn't really let you know about his passion, though. This dude really has a passion for music, and the guy is really talented. I wish I could play something right here on my show, but I'm actually changing the format of it. Just going strictly to talk, but hey, I'm going to start doing a show later at night where I'm going to play nothing but positive music, and be sure I will go ahead and see if I can get him to send me some so I can go ahead and play some on my show. Well, first and foremost, Mr. Jones, go ahead and let that 17 to 18-year-old dude that's going on right now, we all know about the frenzies, everything about the Ferguson stuff going on in the media. So just that's one note. But just imagine right now if you're trying to study for finals, or if you're in high school and you're trying to and you're in the playoffs and you're trying to worry about your next step in life, which is college. You want to know if you want to go to college or if you want to pursue your dreams of being an actor, rapper, or whatever it is, start your own blog site, whatever it is you got in mind. If you're trying to benefit your community and stay on a positive path and continue to college, Mr. Jones, what would you tell that dude that right now is during football season or might be in the beginning of basketball season? What can he do right now to try to stay positive and stay straight and not necessarily get involved, but don't let this Ferguson media madness affect his ability to continue to go forth in life?
And honestly, I was just telling him to stay focused, like no distractions. Like all this stuff that's going on around him, man, like he has to black it out. You know, he has to stay focused on the task at hand. If it's finals, you know what I'm saying? Study on your finals, you know, get your books, do what you got to do to pass the test. Whether it's football, playoffs, you know what I'm saying? Whenever, because like you know, man, like, it's like what Leach taught us, man. He was like get all the like the bull crap and stuff like out of your head. You know, we got to stay focused, because when we distracted, that's whenever we tend to get like knocked off track. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, instead of me thinking about my time and my opponent, I'm worried about what's going on over here. And then I'm like, oh shoot. And then I focus on that, and then I miss a play. You know, it's like Leach said, play the next play. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to shake it off and move on. But we can't let what's going on in the outside world, like, interfere with our dreams and, like, what we really got going on and, like, the dreams and the goals and the plans and stuff that we have for life, because life, man, like, They're going to throw curveballs, and you're going to be distracted, man. But it's just, do you have, like, the resilience to shake it off and move on and play the next play, whether it's in a game, whether it's in the classroom, or whether it's in life, man? You can't let distractions, like, deter you from what you're trying to do.
Oh, man, you hit the nail right on the nose right there, Mr. Jones. Just like Coach Lee still used to tell us that. And one thing Coach Lee used to also tell us to go along with that, which I thought was kind of funny because, you know, Coach Lee is just, you know, just that, you know, he's a wonderful kind of guy. You know, he will also tell us, well, you guys got your fat little good friends in the stands and your family's here. He was like, I guarantee you, yes, they love you. Yes, they do. But they'll love you just a little bit more if you win.
If you win. Well, I agree with that, yeah. And that's
yeah.
Like, the thing about those same people who, like, outside of the locker room, you know what I'm saying, like, they either ride with us or they don't, you know, like, when we tend to lose. Like, I hear a lot of so-called Red Raider fans now, like, jumping off the bandwagon, we suck, we this, we that. I'm like, no, we really don't suck, man. We're like, we're young. Like he has a lot of talent right now, but then we start winning. Oh, I knew it. I'm like, nah, man, you weren't with us back then. Like, you know, like, and those the same, like, they can care less, man. Like, all they care about is wins and losses. They don't really care about the people in the locker room, man. You know, that's it.
Right.
They just care about wins and losses. So just focus on you and doing what you got to do and better yourself and better make a better life for you and your family, you know what I'm saying, because those people outside the locker room really could care less about you.
Oh, man. You hit the nail right on the nose again.
All they care about is wins and losses.
All they care about is wins and losses. Don't really care about, like, the you know, like the person, the person in general. And like I talked about, like, right after the Adrian Peterson thing was going on, it's like nobody really was too concerned about Adrian Peterson as long as he was running that ball right. But then as soon as he comes out in the media, now everybody want to tear down his name. He don't deserve to play no more. All this negativity, but just like a week prior. Yeah, they don't know him, like, personally, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like that, like, as far Adrian Peterson as a man, you know, as a man, like, don't nobody really tend to care about, which means is, like, us as athletes, yes, they care about us when we win, and so it's coming evident about Texas Tech that everybody is really, you know, turning their back on us because our W's are not more than our losses right now. So it's like they want to just throw some people under the bus, and you got people pointing the finger him and her, but it's like, hey, calm down, you know. Texas Tech, we ride or die. You know what I'm saying? So us as players, we learn not to feed into the media, because there's a quote that I love so very much. You never as good as they say you are. You never as bad as you think you are. So, you know, you can't really listen to all the praise. You can't listen to all the negative. You just got to continue to get deep inside of you and go within. Go within and then just be successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Mr. Johnson. So tell somebody, how did you get into the music? Like, what made you want to start pursuing music? And, man, and boy, I'll tell you one thing. You got some bars on you. So, you know, 9 times out of 10, most athletes are, like, who play football, basketball. Some of them tend to rap, too. So if they're trying to pursue music and pursue football, like, how is it that some – and just so you fans know, this guy, he does music, but it's actually Christian music. It's positive music that uplifts the community. So, like, with the stuff, the tragedy and stuff is going on now, instead of turning on a Lil Wayne, you could turn on Big Rich and be positive and not feed into the negatives, you know, not listen to some music that's going to have you going out there and portraying with the media, busting out windows, sagging, talking about you got swag, talking about you got all this, but you can put on something like by Big Rich and his company, you know, that's actually positive, talks about hard work, coming throughout of dark times, hard times, and actually going out and excelling. So just listen to him as he get ready to answer this question. How can an athlete pursue sports and still try to be positive and give his community some good advice and try to in his rap? You know what I'm saying? How can he kind of pursue that?
Shoot, man, honestly, I've always rapped, like you knew that, but it was like once I gave my life to the Lord, man, like I realized I couldn't really rap about some of that stuff that I used to rap about, and so I struggled with, like, being a Christian rapper because I thought that was lame, so I was like, man, I'm not no Christian rapper, man, And so I had I was writing music still, man, but it was just like I took out the cuss and it was just like real life type stuff. And one of the pastors at E-Life, Experience Life, had asked me to write a rap for the Easter service in 2009. I was like, yeah, I'd do it. And whenever I did it, like, when I saw the impact, man, that I was able to have on, like, the youth and, like, the kids and, like, the people there, man, like, it opened up my eyes. Like, man, like I can really, like, make an impact in this world, like, just through my music. And so I started pursuing that, man, and I ran into an old friend of mine, Jay Long, who I went to high school with, and he was actually, he made it in the music industry. He was with the R&B group Pretty Ricky, and he had just hit me up out of the blue one day, and we started talking. He had just left the road. He had turned down millions of dollars, left the fame, the money, all that stuff, man, and gave his life to the Lord and started pursuing Christ, man, and he started his own label, J-Fan Music, and I was one of the first guys that he had signed, man, and it's just been good from that, man. He's just been a great man to work with, just somebody who knows the industry like that, man. Like, he has, you know, the connects and stuff like that, man. But most importantly, man, I really just want to impact, like, the youth, man, because that's who Satan is after right now. He knows if he can get that generation, man, then it's a wrap, you know, because a lot of what's going on now, man, is like it's up to the youth, man. It's weird. It's urgent right now. It really is urgent, man. And I'll put it like this: like, most of the people where I'm from are like who like live in the lower income part of towns, man. Like, they would much rather a guy like me who's been through the same thing that they've been through come and talk to them, and they're more apt to listen to me than just a pastor who ain't never really been in no situation like that. You get what I'm saying? And so,
yes, sir.
And so, who do, like, most people, most young adults and youth, like, that two people, the two main people that they look up to are actors and athletes, or entertainers and athletes. And so that's why I'm just trying to use the gift. That's why I'm trying to use the gift that God gave me, man. Whether it's football, whether it's music, you know what I'm saying, to use that platform, man, like, to show, like, there is a better way. Like, we don't have to go out and rob, steal, and kill, you know what I'm saying, and make a living. We don't have to sell drugs to make a living, you know. We can, like, make a living just by a little bit of hard work, you know what I'm saying, just going out there and just giving all you got, man, and just, and first of all, just trusting in God, you know what I'm saying, and the plan that he has for you, man. And we have to invade everything that the enemy's doing, man, and just with them taking God out of school, man, and just all this stuff that's going on. But, like, that's why so much chaos going on right now. And I just want to open people's eyes, man, to see that Jesus is real, man, and there is a better way. And I know some persecution going to come with it, but I'm ready, you know, so.
Oh, I know. That's right. Like, you're going to be ready. That's one thing you say. Always stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. We're going to hold that note on there for you, Big Rich. Right now, I got the other caller on the line, Mr. Landon. Landon, riggedy right. Landon is a former sports journalist turned football coach. He actually got an assembly to go to, so we're gonna make it short and sweet. All right, Mr. Wright, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, Pete?
Not much, man. Go ahead and let the people know what you're doing right now, is your occupation, and where you from, man.
Oh, man, right now I'm actually in about 3 or 4 minutes. I got seventh grade athletics, so I gotta go coach some seventh grade basketball. But from all over, really. Spent a lot of time in Lubbock. Got 2 degrees at Texas Tech, and as you mentioned, used to be a writer covering Texas Tech with 24/7 Sports and the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. So, you know, miss it from time to time. Miss you know, kind of being in the loop with the team and all that stuff, and getting to know guys like Rich and like you and all the other good folks I met doing that. You know, but kind of coach has always kind of been a dream of mine. So, you know, kind of. You know how God works, you know, different things will kind of push you in the direction you need to go. So I just kind of felt like it was time, and I've been teaching and coaching since August, coached the seventh grade C team, you know, started from the bottom, you know, coaching kids that had never played the game before. And we went 4-2, had a pretty good year, and coaching basketball now. Our first game starts in 2 weeks. So starting here, part of a really good program, you know, Kerrville, Tyvee. We still in the playoffs, third round playoff game. It's actually, you know, there's probably only a few reasons in the world that it's okay to get your Thanksgiving break cut short, but I'd say being in the playoffs still is a good reason, one of the few reasons that it's okay to have your break cut short. So looking forward to a good game. We're playing Gregory Portland on Friday at Converse Judson High School, and we're hoping to come out with the win. Feeling pretty good about it. Myself, I feel like our coaches and our players were ready, so looking to make it to the quarterfinals if we win on Friday. So real stoked about that.
Oh, man, that's a good deal. So I hope you guys go ahead and win. One thing about, you know, high school football is one thing is when you know you're really successful as a team is whenever you playing during this time of the season, during Thanksgiving and everything. So I wish you guys nothing but the best. And so what would you tell somebody, because you really play sports in, collegiately, so what would you tell somebody just real quick? I know you got to go. What would you tell that guy right now that's in high school, you know, some of those guys that's on the football team, to help them stay focused and who want to get into coaching and do it at the next level or become like a middle school coach like yourself? So how can you help someone keep their nose clean and stay drama-free as all this stuff in the media is going on right now and just trying to stay positive?
Man, I'd probably kind of continue up what Rich said. I mean, I'm a faith man myself. I mean, if it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here. Can't think of, you know, I'd need probably about a four-hour segment to even begin to mention the things he brought me out of and he brought me through to open these doors, and he continues to open doors. I mean, really the big thing is just ask the Lord to open a door, and he's going to open it, you know. Like, I can't go from, you know, where I'm at to where I want to get to in one door. You know, it might be 10 doors from now before I get to where I want to get to. You know, but he'll open a door, and he'll open an opportunity for you to go into a place, for you to grow. And the word says, if we're faithful with a little bit, we'll be trusted with more. So as we're faithful, I mean, you and I know each other for a couple of years now. And you know, I used to, like, be involved with semi-pro. You know, I started, kind of got on this track, well, it's been 5 or 6 years ago now, I started playing semi-pro ball. And I told God that if, you know, because I hadn't played in 6 or 7 years until then, I told God if I could just start on special teams, I'd be happy. Ended up playing every special team, starting at tight end all year, playing a little bit on defense, you know, whenever we didn't have a whole lot of guys travel to far away games and stuff like that. And ended up managing the team as the GM the next year, you know, and that kind of helped me build a resume that got me into, like, working with an arena team. And now I'm here, you know. But, I mean, I started at the bottom. Whenever I first found that semi-pro team, I mean, we'd be at a game, and we'd have, like, 6 or 7 different uniforms on. I mean, it was that unorganized. But, like, God still used that to, like, to grow me and to, like, show me some things and to put me in a situation to give back. And, like life is just a consistent cycle of reaping and sowing, you know. Like, as we sow, we grow. And as we sow, we get more we get better opportunities, you know. And just, you know, like, it's easy to look back and get down on ourselves thinking, man, I missed it here, I missed it here, I missed it here, I missed it here. And, I mean, you can get real depressed in about 10 seconds if you want to look back and think about what you could have done differently. But you look, shift your attention forward again and think, okay, despite everything, what can I do now? And you begin to focus your eyes on what can you give. And as you give and as you sow, you grow. So you begin to see which areas you can give, and just through that, I mean, doors open up. I mean, I've met a ton of people the last few years, you know, like most of the entire Texas Tech squad and the coaches, and met Des Bryant and, you know, guys like Rich and guys that used to play at Tech, you know, 40 years ago that have won Super Bowl rings. And, you know, just the list goes on and on and on. And it just started, like, through faith. I mean, my life used to be a mess, used to be on the wrong road. And, you know, I just got a hold of the Word, and the Word got a hold of me. And then next thing you know, like, I have the life I've dreamt about for years, you know, like, I'm living it, and it's just going to get better as we're faithful. So that's probably in a nutshell, is just ask. I mean, ask God and he'll do it. I ain't going to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow, but you know, if God has for me in my future. And I'm not saying that's necessarily, like, my top desire or anything, but, you know, like, God will answer in a way with where you're at now. And as you take that step, being faithful to it, he's going to keep promoting you. As we're faithful, he promotes us.
Oh man, hey, did you guys hit it right there? You, life is like a continuing cycle of reaping and sowing, you know. So, you know, no one has a straight path. No one is perfect. You know what I mean? Everyone has their trials and tribulations. Everybody has obstacles that they overcome. And sometimes, you gotta keep the faith. So, like he said, you just gotta ask God what it is he wants you to do, and you know, and pay attention to the signs. And keep your faith and move forward. Well, all right, Mr. Wright, I'll go ahead and let you go, man. I know you got to go. If there's like a quote that you want to send the people off with, I'll let you go ahead and do that. But other than that, man, I wish you nothing but the best, and I hope you guys go ahead and get that W and continue to play.
I appreciate it. The first one that came to my spirit, I'll leave y'all with this, is Mark 11:22-26. It says, if anyone should say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, then he should have what he says. Therefore, when we pray, we should believe that we've received what we asked for and it should be ours. But if we doubt, we shouldn't think we'll receive anything. So the key, one of the number one keys to seeking the Lord and to receiving from the Lord is when you read the word, believe with all your heart. I mean, we ain't got nothing to lose. There's a lot of stuff in the world that's against us, but God is always for us and God always wins. So believe you received whatever you're praying for, and in due time, you'll be living it.
Oh, there it is. Y'all heard him. In due time, you'll be living it. Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Landon Wright. All right, Landon, I'm going to let you go to your assembly. You go ahead and have a great day, all right?
I appreciate it, Pete.
All right, good deal. Oh, yeah, that was Landon Wright, 7th grade basketball coach, also football coach right now. On the line, I still got Richard Jones, former Texas Tech Red Raider, also played a few games in the D-League of the NFL. Also, not only is a football player, but he also is a Christian rapper, if you want to label it like that. But I just call him as a rapper, just give him positive music, cause just because he talks about the Lord and talks about coming up out of poverty and coming up out of a situation and a socioeconomic status doesn't necessarily got to put a label on it. I just call it positive. So, yeah, that's Richard Jones right there. And, Richard, you still there with me, man?
Well, yeah, I see you.
All right, man, I ain't going to take up too much more of your time, and because everybody knows about the Ferguson case going on. Yeah, there was no indictment on Darren Wilson, which means I make light on every situation. I don't believe in negativity. If I feel like it's negative, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not. If I feel like you're negative towards me, I'm just going to brush you off and keep going. I won't let nobody get up under my skin. I won't let nobody do nothing like that. So, but I feel like there's a lot of animosity going on around here right now. I feel like the media is portraying it as a black and white situation. I don't really think it's a black and white situation. I just feel like, the media is making the black people in America right now look ignorant. They were showing people rioting and looting and all this, but there was actually some peaceful protesting out there too, but they didn't seem like they wanted to show that. It was just and then they want to wait to nighttime to give the verdict when all like the middle school, the high school kids is out of school and everybody's out of work. It seemed like they could have made the announcement earlier, and then it seems like they already knew what the indictment was, because once they found that it was no indictment, There was a statement released by Mr. Wilson's parents, like really right afterwards. So it really kind of threw me for a loop. But I really feel like us as people, like all people, not black, not white, not Mexican, not Hispanic, Latino, Italian, I feel like every one of us, every one of us, you know, as a people, need to go ahead and get together and each community, whether it's your community is all black, whether your community is all white, whether your community is Mexican, whether your community is Italian or whatever it is, all just need to get together and start serving your community. Go vote. Go if you don't like the way something is going, go vote. Be heard. You can't just sit there on your couch and complain. So you got to do your part. Only way to change the world, you got to change yourself. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And your worst competitor, your worst enemy, is the one that you look at in the mirror. So you can't really blame this justice system. You can't really blame Darren Wilson. You can't blame Mike Brown. You can't blame the person that he was with. Everything happens for a reason. So if you feel like a light has went off in your head, and take it as a positive. I don't take that in no indictment on Darren Wilson as a wrong, you know, because that man, at the end of the day, that man has a family. That man is a human being. He's 28 years old, which I am 28 years old. I'm not confining what he done. I'm not confining what he done, but I just don't think that we should label it as black and white. And people do make mistakes, and whether he made a mistake and whether the jury made a mistake, we don't know. So all you can do is continue to focus on yourself and focus to grow, which leads me to my next question. Mr. Jones, just tell me, I want you to elaborate on the situation and just kind of give your input on how you feel like the situation went, the kind of like how we kind of discussed before.
Man, honestly, people need to realize and see that this is not a struggle like against flesh and blood, man, but against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil that's in the heavenly realms, man. Like, what's going on? Like, we really can't see what's going on. Like, bro, this is Satan at work. Like, this is the enemy, man. And like, the media has the power to make us believe, like, whatever they want. You know what I'm saying? And for the simple fact that they're making it a race issue, they're making it black and white, like, first of all, it angers me, and, like, it hurts at the same time, man, because, like, my wife is white, bro, like, and I know, and her family, like, I love my wife and I love her family to death, man, and there's other white people that I know, like, who like, took me into their homes, man, who's done so much for me, man, like, but yet they're making it like this black and white thing, and I'm seeing people like post stuff like on Facebook like I hate white people and this and that, and like, bro, like, honestly, you're offending my wife, like, whenever you say stuff like that, you know, and like, it shouldn't be a black and white thing. Like, we should be pissed off for the simple fact that this man didn't get indicted because he killed a human being, but no, the media was like, well, a white officer shot and killed a black. Like, they literally make sure they let the race be known. Killed a black unarmed dude. You know what I'm saying? And like, why couldn't it just be like, officer shoots unarmed team? You know what I'm saying? But for the simple fact that they made it black and white, like, that just makes it all the more like, man, history repeats itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, this happened, but this happened with Martin Luther, this happened with the thing like in the Watts back in the 60s and 70s, man, like, this ain't nothing but history repeating itself, and in order for something to change, man, like, we have to, like, I don't know, bro, it shouldn't be black and white, man. I just hate for the simple fact that it's black and white. This man should be in prison for killing a human being, you know what I'm saying, like, the George Zimmerman thing, he should be in prison for killing an unarmed team, for killing a man. Like, and even with the guy who shot, like, the boy for playing the music. You know, like every day, like, that stuff that we don't see, man, we, like, I know a black cop who did some dirt, like, to one of my homeboys, and he was a black cop, but he just don't like cops in general now. You know what I'm saying? Like, but instead of us, like, waging war against, like, the black and white people, man, we just need to come together, like, in love, man, and just love one another. And I know it's, like, I can't imagine what the family's going through, man. Like, I know they're hurting, man, but it's just, they shouldn't be out there, like, blowing buildings up, putting buildings on fire, man, and doing all this stuff just because a white man got off. They should be mad because this dude got off for killing this kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm trying to say, man? It shouldn't be black and white, bro. Like, I hate that is black and white, man, and it shouldn't be like that.
Right, man. I completely agree. And the media do have the power to make us believe what we want to believe, and doing all things. And I really feel for your friend who actually had a black cop do something against him, because that's the sad part about it, is because I actually opened up on my Facebookers last night and was talking about an issue whenever I was 24 about a cop banging my head on the windshield. But, you know, most people are already assuming that it was a white cop because I'm a black guy. It's like, no. It's like, no. I said cop. I didn't say black or white. And ultimately, people all, because I'm black, they think a white cop done it. But it was actually a black cop. So that's just how so much the media – that's just so much how the media got you stereotyping things, in which got people jumping to conclusions, in which – that's not, in which that's That's not cool. I took her name is Linda K. Lurby. She saved my life. White woman. You know, I shouldn't even have to say white woman. You know, but just for the simple fact, you know, that I'm a black male growing up in America, about to enter corporate America, you know, like it sucks that I have to say, you know,